In this video, I'm going to explain to you the Kubernetes architecture. Now, Kubernetes has these master and the nodes. The clients or the workers are called as nodes in Kubernetes terminology, and the big box that you see here is the master. Now, Kubernetes master contains many components starting with the API server. API server is the interface to the outside world. So anyone who wants to talk to the API Kubernetes environment has to go through the API server. It could be the users, it could be the Kubernetes dashboards, or it could be any third-party application. Let's say OpenShift sits on top of Kubernetes, so it has to go through the API server in order to leverage the Kubernetes functionalities. Even the nodes talk to the API server. There's a component from the node, which we're going to look at later, which talks to the API server. API server coordinates with all the other components and then gets things done. The second component, which is also very important, is the scheduler. Now, let's look at what scheduler actually does. So when you want to launch your container-based workloads, you may have, you know, maybe hundreds of nodes in your cluster. So how do you decide which container runs on which node that you have? Now, for that, you may have multiple constraints. So you may want to run a particular type of workloads on particular type of nodes, maybe CPU intensive operations on CPU optimized machines and so on. Or you may have constraints, you may have you may define affinities and so on. So scheduler is the one which provides the intelligence and makes those decisions for you intelligently and decides where to run which container. The job is simple. The next component is the controller manager. Now, controllers are the ones who are responsible for providing the application deployment, the way the containers are launched, the way they scale, and the way they are deployed, the new versions of it, and so on, right? And then there are many different controllers which are available inside Kubernetes. So when you want to run those multiple replicas and run your application with high availability, it is the controller-like deployment which provides you with that. The replication, scaling, and the strategy to go from one version to another is all defined and controlled by the controllers. And then there are different controllers that Kubernetes has for different types of workloads. Let's have a look at those. So when you want to run those stateless applications, typically your application servers and so on with high availability, you would use a controller by name deployment. When you want to run agents, let's say you want to run monitoring agents, you want to run something on every node in your cluster, you would use something called as a daemon set. Daemon set guarantees that you run one node, one instance of that application on every node. When you want to run stateful applications like databases and so on, where you need persistent storage and certain way of deploying those and so on, you would use stateful sets. To run ad hoc jobs, you would use the controller called as jobs, which is run to completion. And when you want to run cron jobs, there is a controller for it too. Now, Kubernetes actually, even though there are different controllers, all of those are compiled into one single binary. And that is the controller manager component that you see running on your Kubernetes master. So all of these are combined into the controller manager. And the one you saw in the architecture earlier is this component. That's the one, that's the controller manager. So we talked about API server, the scheduler, controller manager, and now we're gonna look at one of the most important aspects and the component of Kubernetes, the brain of Kubernetes, that is the etcd. Why I call it's not really the brain, because it's more like a storage. The intelligence is provided by controllers and schedulers and so on. But the state of the cluster is stored in this database. It's a key value pair database called as etcd, also typically pronounced as etcd. It's a key value pair and the entire state. So any configuration changes that you make, any objects that you create are first stored in etcd. So when you talk to the API server, it actually makes an entry in the etcd server first, you know, and then when you want to, you know, even set up your control plane with high availability, the Kubernetes masters with high availability First, you go and set up a cluster of etcd with minimum of 3 nodes. And that is the one which is going to give you the high availability. And then you can talk to any, you know, etcd node, and these etcd nodes talk to each other with a protocol called as Raft. Raft is a distributed consensus protocol that is needed because any configuration that you store in any of the etcd node has to be propagated and stored in all of these nodes. That's how you get high availability. Now, the fault tolerance formula for etcd is 2n plus 1. That's why we need 3 or 5 and so on, because if you want to tolerate one node failure, you need 2 into 1 plus 1, that is 3 nodes of etcd. That's why I show 3 nodes here. If you want to tolerate 2 node failures, you need 5 nodes of etcd. And if you want to tolerate 3 node failure of etcd, you need 7. Typically, you would create maximum 7 etcds because there is a lot of data which travels between etcds for every change, every, you know, commit, every update which happens in you know, Kubernetes cluster. So anything beyond 7 becomes makes the cluster slower itself. And for high availability, etcd is the most important component here. Now, that's part of the master node. Let's look at what components run on the nodes. Every node which participates in the cluster, which is run as a worker or which is responsible for running containers, runs a process called as kubelet. Kubelet is sort of the agent of that Kubernetes cluster, and that's the one which talks to the API server and then talks to the runtime and gets the job done. A runtime could be your typically container daemons like Docker, for example. Docker is the most popular one, but Kubernetes works with any of these. Kubernetes can work with Rocket, created by CoreOS, RunC, which is the underlying technology, or Cryo, which is the newer, closely integrated runtime for Kubernetes. And that's how the containers are launched and run and managed by Kubelet. So Kubelet is responsible to talk to the API server and then get the work done locally, also do the health checks and so on. And that's what you run on every single node that participates in the cluster. Every node that runs on, inside a cluster has a kubelet, has the Docker runtime. And then there is one more service called as kubeproxy. We'll talk about kubeproxy when we, start talking about the services, Kubernetes services, that is. Now, this is how it works, right? So when you, let's say as a user, connect to the API server on the master and run something, let's say kubectl run or kubectl apply, it actually gets scheduled. The scheduler decide which node it's going to run on. And that node's kubelet is then informed about the new container to be run on it. And then the kubelet will talk to the local container runtime, whatever it is configured with the kubelet, that is. Most likely it is going to be Docker, but it could be any of the runtime that Kubernetes supports. So kubelet then talks to the runtime and asks it to run the actual container. And that's how your containers are launched in the Kubernetes environment on those nodes. And not only that, kubelet then keeps on doing the probes. Probes are way to do the health checks. And there are a couple of probes that are available, and that's how kubelet decides whether the containers are available or not. And then it, keeps on monitoring for it, and then, informs back to the master if there are any issues with the containers. And this is how the communication between the API server, the kubelet, and the container runtime happens. One more thing to add is, even on the masters, you would typically see those client services run. Those that include kubelet, Docker, and kubeproxy, because most of the control plane services, those controller manager, etcd, API server, scheduler, are run as containers as well, or can be run as containers. So you will see those services run on the master too. In addition to this, there are certain add-ons which, even though they were called as add-ons earlier, have become an essential part of the Kubernetes environment. That includes the DNS service, which you would see run inside your cluster, possibly multiple instances of the DNS server. Second is the CNI, that is for the networking. you will essentially need to network your containers running on different hosts. And for that, you would have to set up those CNI plugin components such as Flannel, Weave, Calico, and so on. So you're gonna see those containers or the pods running for the CNI plugins as well. So in addition to the scheduler, API server, controller, manager, etcd, you are going to see DNS and the networking components as part of the control plane. That's the Kubernetes architecture for you.